New handouts, the first page. The laws of Yoledes. Simon Sadi Gimel.
Oh, wow. Very fast.
The laws of Yoledes. Miyad kishishilo isha lahargish simoni leida, when a woman senses that she has begun to give birth, okay, afilu hi misupekes, even if she is uncertain, karulam miyaledes, afilu mokum rocha kama parsos, you allow him mechal Shabbos to call a miyaledes, you can send for miyaledes, a midwife, even if this midwife has to travel a great distance, more than Yud Beis Mil, even though it's deraisa, it is pikuach nefesh, and therefore anything that needs to be done can be done in order to assist in the labor. Aleph on the bottom, lahargish shemani leida on the bottom, shemani halacha. Ayin vagin Avraham shem sefer chasidim kishadagia ha'isha lechodesh hatashi taz mechol erev Shabbos kol hadvarim hanitzrachim lo the shema yizdamim leidas the b'Shabbos v'loy titztorich lechal Shabbos. This is a rule in this. I tried to spend some time preparing for this simon. There are articles and there's even a very good book. There's a book about the halachas of childbirth. I don't know the exact title of the book. It's a nice, good, zunta, thick book. Half the book is in Hebrew, half the book is in English. And it has all the common shilas. And there's one yisod that comes out from all the books and all the articles and all of the manuals. And that is to prepare in advance. That's all.
You have to prepare the harvest, the whiskey.
This is the yisod that reappears over and over. A woman is in her ninth month. There is no excuse just to play it by ear. Every Shabbos, everything has to be prepared. A suitcase has to be prepared with everything you possibly can need in the hospital. A car service number has to be ready. If possible, you should even arrange with a specific car service that we're not going to pay you. We'll pay you in advance. We've already paid you the $20 to take us to the hospital. And therefore, if you get a phone call, you come and you know what to do. The dispatcher should be aware that the person should come, open the doors. Whatever you can do in advance should be done in advance to minimize Chil Shabbos as much as possible. This is the yisod. When everything is done, when everything is said and done, nothing's going to go according to plan. We all know that. Nothing in life happens according to plan. Yeah. Of course. You have no choice. Of course. Of course. You're not allowed to do Amir Lakum. You're not allowed to tell someone Erev Shabbos to do something for you on Shabbos. That's also Amir Lakum. It's also Shluch Hashem Kamoso. But whatever you can possibly do in advance should be done in advance to minimize the Chil Shabbos. When things don't work out according to plan, of course, you have no choice. You have to go and get, you have to drive yourself, you have to Michal Shabbos yourself, whatever you need to do, you need to do. But it's not an excuse not to plan. And guess what? This halacha already goes back to the time of the Sefer HaChassidim. Okay, we're going way back. When was Sefer HaChassidim? 400 years? 1300. Wow, so we're going back 800 years. The Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, going back, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid already says this. You have to make preparations. You have to make preparations in advance. That's what he says. We just read the Mogen Avraham quotes the same Sefer Chassidim, the Shagia Ahisha Lechodesh HaTeshi'i, the ninth month, Tazmin B'chol Erev Shabbos, Kol HaDvarim HaTzim Nisrachim La, the Shema Yizdamen Lidas B'Shabbos, V'lo Yitztanech L'chal L'Shabbos. Okay, Halacha Beis. Halacha Beis is Yoledes Harei K'chol L'Shayesh Boi Sakana.
It's out of pardon again. It really should say L'mayet Chilu Shabbos, because there's no way you're not going to have a Chilu Shabbos.
Okay, so you have to look up the Lashon of the Mogen Avraham and see what he says. Maybe it's just a generalization in a Hanami. To me, it's the Pashat. This is the Yisod. Next halacha base. Yoledes karehi kechayla shiyesh boisikol. It's probably people over here. It's more near you than it was when people grandparents. Your grand, they probably will call you to come and be on baby watch.
Yeah.
So you're probably more familiar with these halachas than when you were when you had your own children. Now you have the yishuv hadas. Right, it's a whole different story to be a grandparent. Yishuv hadas. Like someone used to always tell Balabas. Always tell my father. Zuchon Levracha, that when the grandchildren come, it's nachas. And when they leave, it's relief.
grandchildren are a parent's revenge.
Say it again.
Grandchildren are a parent's revenge.
I got to think about that one.
Oh, yes.
because they were terrible to their parents. You spoil your children's, now you take care of them.
Balabas once said to me that I had I known how much I would love my grandchildren, I would have had them first. Had I known how much I love my grandchildren, I would have had them first.
That was
before.
I saw it as a bumper sticker.
A bumper sticker.
If I
okay.
If grandchildren were that much fun, I would have had them first.
Okay, I know someone has a grandchild. He's not a youngster. So when people see him with a child, he married late. He married twice. This is his second wife, and he had a child. And people were very surprised that at his age, what? So he took the child with him. People would say, "Oh, this is your grandchild." So he said to him, "No, it's my great grandchild." That's how he would respond. Okay. Let's go to Halacha Beis. Yoledes Harehi Kicha. That's a good one. He seems to Rapport. He laughed well. That's a good line, right? It's a good line. It's a very, very good line. A very smart, shrewd fellow.
No, he said, great uncles. I said, you tried so hard to be a good uncle, you became a great uncle.
Halacha Beis Yoledes Harehi Kichoyle Sheyesh Boy Sakana. You know, Mr. Rosenfeld is coming tomorrow. I know for a fact that he delivered a number of babies. So we can ask him about these shilas on Shabbos. I definitely remember him telling my father he delivered a baby once on that solokol. Yeledes harei ki chol sheyesh bo sakana mechal no lechas Shabbos ni mechal Shabbos lechol ma sheitzicha. Ach, imev shalasa is alidei shinui. If you can do it through a shinui, or alidei any Yehudi or sin, of course, if you can do it through a shinui, goy matayim anoim. V'nikreis yeledes shem misha tishkav al hamashber. On the birthing stool. You go to a museum, we don't know what this is today. It doesn't exist such a thing today. But if you go to a museum, you can probably look at all of these have special chairs, birthing stools, so when she sits down on these things, when she bleeds, she no longer to walk by herself. As a miscarriage after 40 days from the time mitvilas. Notice this is a very impressive thing that the kiddush shulchan aruch. You learn from the sensitivity of language. That he says that the way he refers to conception, he doesn't even want to say the word. Tashmish, marital relations, or anything. He says from the time she went to mikvah, it's an amazing nikias haloshen that the woman has a miscarriage 40 days after she went to mikvah. What does the mikvah have to do with having a miscarriage? It's an incredible sensitivity to tznius. I was listening to a shiur recently from a Rav, and the language that he was saying was shocking. I was someone else in the car, and they said, "Turn this off." And this is like a popular rabbi, and the language. Today we live in a world that we're not sensitive, and everything goes. It's a free for all. And yet, look at this. This is just remarkable of how he talks about. Tznius, hilchas tznius, with the word tefillah. So yeah.
When the Ramah came to Krakow,
you talk louder, please.
When the Ramah came to Krakow, there was the minig that the husband of the mikvah lady,
yeah,
the morning after tefillah would go to the husband and say mazel tov. And
the husband of the mikvah lady
would go, yes,
to the woman.
The husband of the woman would say mazel tov, and then
that's terrible.
Wait, the Ramah wanted to stop it.
Why would they do that? What was the reason they did that?
Because
gossip.
Hopefully, no.
Oh, a bracha.
Hopefully, it was a mazel tov.
Okay.
And the Ramah wanted to stop it.
Okay.
He stopped it for a while, but then he restarted it.
Why?
Someone got upset.
Yeah.
Because he didn't come and give him a mazel tov.
Yeah.
And he said, he told the Ramah, he didn't give me a mazel tov.
So he stopped on him. It. It's a matter of
so
society.
He pulled him over. He says, I wouldn't have given him a mazel tov anyway. She didn't come to mikvah.
Ooh.
So that was a way to know that the women all came to
ah.
So it was a man.
I see what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting, very interesting. Fascinating story. You understand what the story is saying? I'll explain it later.
Coming up with a tzatala, you had a delivery next morning.
Very interesting. Okay, let's go weiter. Okay, so this is what he says over here, that if a woman has a mapelus, a woman has a miscarriage, she's also bringing the sakona, and all the rules of Shabbos are suspended on behalf of a woman who is having a miscarriage. Halacha gimel. Kol shleisha yom harishayin mafilu amina shein etzricha. Now let's discuss the laws of Mechal Shabbos after she gives birth. Today, I wonder if the halacha doesn't change. I didn't read all the details, but as far as I know, even though the Zman HaZed, the hospital kicks the patient out after, 48 hours max? Before 40 hours? Today used to be years ago that you would stay in the hospital. A woman would stay for at least a week. A week, 2 weeks, 8 days, and the bris milah would always be in the hospital because the mother was in the hospital.
In other words, in my time, the bris
was in the hospital because the mother did not leave for 2 weeks. The mother was there. The standard was a woman would not leave the hospital for 2 weeks, at least, approximately, eight, whatever it was, and that was the standard for the bris was there.
It was 5 days.
Okay, but today the standard is not more than 2 days the most. So therefore, yet, so one could make an argument that if a woman, since the hospital feels that she's no longer sakana, she's after 2 days, that if a woman, she doesn't feel well, you're not allowed in the Chal Shabbos. She should be getting to follow the rules of a chayla she'ein boi sakana, which have stricter set of guidelines, as we learned last week. No, Shulchan Aruch says that for 3 days from the day of Leida, a woman in the halakha is called the chayla she'yesh boi sakana, and even though the hospital may send her home, if she does not feel well, or even if she does feel well, they're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on her behalf. The question, though, is how to calculate 3 days. Are the 3 days calculated in the Eis L'Eis, 24, meaning from the moment that she gives birth, you go forward 72 hours, or do we follow halachic days? So if she gives birth at the end of the day, 5 minutes before sunset, she's really only going to be Mechal Shabbos her for 2 days.
Or do you count it, Rabbi, from the time she goes into contractions?
It could be even 6 to 10, 12 hours how long the lay is. So I don't know the answer. I think it says over here from the time she begins the labor. It appears to me that the Zman Sakana begins from the time of labor. That's what it appears to be. That's right. So from the time of labor, well, that's the beginning. So that comes out of Kula. So maybe that means in order to be a Kula, you want that she actually gives birth. Maybe from there you start from the moment. I don't know the answer to that question. When you calculate, I think maybe you discuss it. I don't sure remember. Let's read it inside. Kol shloisha yom harishayim afilu ameres shein etzricha, for the first 3 days. Even if a woman says, I don't need you to be Mechal Shabbos, we don't listen to her. Mechalin olecho es haShabbos. V'achar kach im ein bo choyli achares, rak tzar haleida. After 3 days, if there is no complications, and the only pain she feels is natural pain that comes after giving birth, then at shiva yamim, until from day 3, after day 3, from day 4 through day 7, at shiva yamim, imay meres, if she demands techil Shabbos, tzricha ni mechalin alecha, v'imay meres, ainit tzricha, how do we calculate the days, the 3 and the 7 days? We do not take into we go for halachic days, not from the moment of actual birth. On Wednesday, at the end of Wednesday, 5 minutes before Shkia, so that's already Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now Shabbos comes, she's already after 3 halachic days. So on Shabbos, if she is in discomfort from natural pain that comes after childbirth, but there's nothing, no complications, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on her behalf. The im yolda b'Shabbos le'eserv, let's say she gives birth Shabbos le'es. Now, what about that's the 3 days. What about the 7 days? Because we're only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for her and for 7 days if she says she does not feel well. So when is the, how do we calculate the 7 days? So im yolda b'Shabbos le'es erev, harehi b'Shabbos habol. If she gives birth on Shabbos, the very last moment of Shabbos before Shkia, so then the next Shabbos will already be the beginning of the halachic 8th day, and you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos Liach HaShiva, even if she says, I need you to be Mechal Shabbos, as long as it's not something serious, it's just natural pain that comes after later, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Shabbos. V'yim yesh k'tzas chash sakana she'isha chalusha b'tiva. Of course, there are always exceptions. A woman is naturally very, very weak. Ha'mekin limnas yam elu mi'eis leis lehivse. Then you can make it, you can count the days, not from the time of birth, the halachic days, but you can calculate it from the exact moment, and that would result in giving you almost another 24 hours in each of the respective cases. Halacha, let's go to the bottom over here on the bottom. L'chol ma she'itzricha halacha beis on the bottom. You allow a woman that is within the first 3 days, you can do it for whatever she needs. Ayin v'mishnah berurah. Shehevi me'taisvus yishanim. Dimadlikim aner afilu hayoledes v'gam hachachomo eino oimeres klum. When a woman is in labor, anyone there should immediately light candles, turn on the lights, light candles, even if they don't ask for it, even if the woman in labor does not request it, even if the midwife does not request it, they're fine. Don't hesitate, you're allowed, and you should be mizoris to light, put on light, you need light to see. Her needs. The loiner, nami manlikin, the miyasva daita, because it gives satisfaction. The mehagim afilu geshen roya kol mare haner. Now, even when you don't see geshen roya kol mare, you don't see the ner. Now you don't see, only you have a very minimal amount of vision from the ner, where the ner is relative to where the people are sitting. Nami manlikin mishum high time of the miyasva daita. Even if you're not going to benefit from the ner that much, still it gives satisfaction. Everything is being taken care of, and you can be mechal Shabbos. Okay, bait halacha gimel. Are we the next halacha gimel? Yamim elu me'es leis ayin b'mishna bruda de mitzadeid sham al pi das habi rishayim loymar de chashvinan tamid yam elu b'me'es leis b'mishna bruda is mekel. Not like the kids are shulchanach have machlekes. The kids shulchanach is noited b'machner. Count halachic days, which results in a shorter amount of time. The mishna bruda is lenient and says you should calculate the days me'es leis, which will result in a longer period of time where you're allowing mechal shabbos dechatchila. V'ayim rechaschayim hachodah shevi gam kei mishim habi achronim lechashiv elu hayamim b'me'es leis, that will result in a greater leniency. Halacha dalet liyachas shiva yamim, after 7 days afilu emeres shricha ani, even if a woman says I need you to be mechal shabbos, and of course we're discussing a case where there is no sakana, it's the amount of tzad she has is nothing other than a regular average pain that a woman has after she gives birth. So with regard to this matter, we are familiar, it's accepted in the world that it's not a sakana, so you have no right to mechal Shabbos on her behalf. Ein anu mechal nolecha ella hareyu ad shloishim yom kecholah she'ein boi sakana v'yoysen kol tzarchecha. You can do it through an Ein Yehudi, where we learned last week al yidei Ein Yehudi period. Aval, but there is one exception, and that is when it comes to cold and heat. That is always the exception. Halach aval lahasik avur abmutar afil Yisrael, but to light a fire is mutter. Even a Yisrael, even in the summertime, you can turn up the heat. If there's no guy available for the heat, you can do it. You should do al chatila de shinui, but you can do it. Kishaloi nimsa in hidden binoka, where it's not easy to find an anjou. Ra'afilu b'tkuvischavas in the summertime. Mishum the hayoledes kol shloshim yom misukenes hi bitzina. With regard to cold, a yoledes for 30 days is considered in the category of achole sheyesh boi sakana, and that's why it is an exception. A regular healthy person is considered to be a cholah she'ein bo sakana when it comes to cold and heat, and that's why you can ask a guy to turn up the heat or the air conditioning during the year for even a healthy person. But for a yoledes, for the first 30 days, she's begad the cholah she'yesh bo sakana, and if you cannot find a guy easily, you can even be done al yidei Yisrael. Halacha hey, have. Yes.
She's cold.
L'chatchilo, you should get a guy to turn it. If it's going to be, he says, if it's not easy, if there's going to be a significant delay of time until you get the heat up, then you can do it yourself. Al yidei shinui, you shouldn't do it. You should do it with your elbow or some type of shinui. You should turn up the heat. That's what it says. That's the halacha. 30 days, a woman who is yoledes for 30 days is chol eitzel tzina. There's nothing to be to hold back, to be embarrassed about. That's what the halacha. Halacha is the halacha. Halacha hey, had a vlad shenoylad marchitz noysav. You're allowed to wash the baby. The baby is born on Shabbos, so you're allowed to bathe the baby even with hot water. You can go and you can cut the umbilical cord. There's a technique. Maybe they do it today also. The miyasher, they strain out. Yeah, they do it today also. They strain out the head, all the limbs. And that's a chochm. The Gemara is that's a chochm. That's boine. It's like you're building a person. You're putting his limbs in order. Like Mr. Potato Head. You put all the pieces in the right place. What? I want this type of eye, and this type of mustache, and this type of shoes. You want the child to come out just right.
I don't think he ever straightened out my head.
It all starts with what they do after later. Ach im eina ben kayama kegoin this is some type of phenomenon which we have no clue what this means today. In time of Chazal, a baby that was born after 8 months has no chance of survival. If we know for a fact when was conception, either 7 or 9, anywhere in between, there's no chance of survival. The baby is muksa. Really, time of Chazal, the baby is muksa. You're not allowed to even touch the baby. The best you can do, the mother is nursing. The mother has tsar, she's allowed to bend down and nurse the child, but you're not allowed to touch it because the baby is DOA. And halacha is considered to be dead. Muksa. Today in the shtana hateva, there's no such thing of this concept. Today, a baby at any age is considered to be a bar kayama due to technology. There's nothing to talk about. I'm not asking shilas. What?
30 weeks.
30 weeks. How many months is that?
Seven and a half months.
Earlier. Was born.
They have the stories today.
Twins. The two of them together weighed 5 pounds.
Together, wow. And they survived? Ach, im einoi ke ban kayama kagoyin shnol l'shmoyin chadashim asun l'tatloi. Avol imoi. Shaykhe olav ume nikasa. She's allowed to bend down and nurse the baby. Mibnei tsar hecholav hamitzaeres hesa, due to the pain of the milk in her body, which needs to be released. Let's look at halacha dal in the bottom. Havlad shenolad kol hadinim hashayachim leinyonim mila b'shabes kasafti l'kaman b'hilchas mila. We'll get that b'yitshem kuf samach nun, not too far ahead. B'tziruf kol inyonim mila, with regard to yonim. So the laws of mila on Shabbos have its own set of rules. Okay, so this concludes, and before we conclude, maybe we'll do a little bit. I just printed out some articles, just some interesting things about labor, about childbirth. Okay, a lot of the articles, they overlap. This article actually comes from Chabad. I'm very impressed with Chabad. Their website, the halachic website, is fantastic. Really is second to none.
Well, one of the dayanim is a grandson.
They have a lot of really a lot of good stuff on their website. Yeah.
The dayanim.
Yeah, is your grandson?
Grandson of Rav Brown.
Our Brown. So look at that. It comes out with we're. Putting together the first couple of things. He talks about some interesting minhagim.
What's the name of the website?
Chabad.org. Chabad.org. It's packed with a lot of good things. A lot of halacha on any topic, any tassel topic. They have a lot. So some of the things they have here is a minhag. Okay, I in hurry not to tell anyone for 3 months. Anyone hear of this? Such a thing? Not to tell people for 3 months. He writes that after 3 months, there's no inyan to hold back from telling people. The inyan of ayin har is only for the first 3 months. Davar hasam and ayin. And a halach after 3 months, it's snicker. It's snicker. So there's no chumrah. There are people that are very discreet about this all the way until, I didn't even know you were pregnant. You had a baby. There are people that are discreet until the very end. But he writes here that after 3 months, there's, in halacha, there's no makar why you have to go out of your way. It's one thing, you don't have to tell everyone, it's no one's business, but there's no need to go out of your way, mamish, not to reveal. Another thing he writes here, he brings out this point, it's a very nice point, he says that when a woman is pregnant, the woman is begeda sakana, it's not a simple matter. And therefore, the husband has an obligation during that 9 months to improve himself spiritually. Things that he would normally do, that he was normally not nizar in, during those 9 months, he should be nizarin. He should hold himself to a higher stin, like just like Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Aseres Yemei Teshuva. There are things you don't do in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, you do the whole year round. Right? So it's a different kuvah, different time of the year. The Yom HaDin is coming up. When a woman, the person's wife is pregnant, it's a very great sakana. A child's whole future is at risk. Besides the sakana to the person's wife, the development of the child, what happens during this time can have a major effect on his entire life, health-wise, mentally. And the father needs chusim. He needs chusim. He has to improve himself. It's a very frightening thing to maintain a level of higher standard for 9 months. It's hard enough, we all know, to get through 10 days. To go get through 9 months is quite a workout.
Only pass Israel for 9 months.
Okay. Okay, then a lot of these things are very, you know, into them. The very big issue is a woman fasting. So there's a woman who's pregnant, does she fast? So the answer is for the Dalet Hanios, for Asar B'Teves, Shavosim B'Tamos, some Gedalia, Tainus Esther, absolutely not. There's nothing to talk about. Okay, Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, the answer is absolutely yes, unless doctor's orders. But if a woman in the secular world, you tell a woman who's pregnant, 6 months pregnant, not you have to fast, they'll look at you like you're out of your mind. The doctors will tell you you're totally crazy. But yet halacha has not changed, and a woman who's a regular, normal, healthy pregnancy in halacha, there's no excuse for a woman not to fast. A woman has to fast. That's how it is. Even no matter how difficult it is, and she has to, there's this Kabbalah, you speak to the child. So Gemara, you speak to the child, you say to the child, today is Yom Kippur. It is Yom Kippur. But of course, we all know there are many exceptions. There are women who just can't handle it. And if doctor says you can't handle it, then you don't have to fast on Yom Kippur. What about, now of course you have to minimize the achil, Yom Kippur, you have to eat pachas pachas mechashir, it's not just a big deal, you have to take 2 schnapps cups, 1 ounce, a schnapps, about 1 ounce, you fill it up with solid food, and you fill up the other one with liquid, and you eat, you drink the 1 ounce of liquid, and you can eat the 1 ounce of solid food, and you wait 9 minutes, and you can do that the entire Shabbos over and over again, and you can end up eating a lot of food on Shabbos, that way you have not violated halacha. It's not in the spirit of the halacha to do it, but if it's necessary, a chayla or a yoledes can do this when she has permission from the doctor to do so. Now, what about the big question? Is there is no answer? Is Tisha B'Av? Okay, that's the hot issue. Does a woman who is pregnant, does she fast on Tisha? The other fast is, as we said, it's Pasha, she does not fast. Pasha Ad Ma'od. Tisha, Yom Kippur, she has to fast, unless there are complications. Tisha B'Av is the tough question. And that, the Chilukei Deos. Some hold that she should go out of her way to fast, and some hold, no, you don't have to go out of your way to fast. Tisha B'Av, you also have a right to be lenient. Okay, the other big issue is...
Is it an individual call?
Yeah, based upon consultation with your rabbi and your doctor. So that is a gray area of halacha. There are things that are clear cut, no and yes. Tisha B'Av is a gray area of halacha where it's not clear cut. Other big issue that all the articles and the books talk about with regard to Leda is inducing labor. Okay, this is a very big issue. Are you allowed to induce? Inducing labor is done for many reasons. High risk pregnancy is done to talk about. It's mutter. The only question is the day. You want the doctor is going on vacation. It's just not convenient for the doctor. The doctor insists. You want me to be the doctor? You got to go. We have to do it on Shabbos. We have to start the process. See, that doesn't mean that she gives birth on Shabbos. You go into the hospital on Shabbos. You go and you have to be in the hospital because we're going to start to induce you on Shabbos. So you'll give birth on Sunday or Monday, whatever the situation is. Or we're going to induce you on Friday, Thursday, so that you will give birth on Shabbos, because I'm going away Sunday. I'm going on vacation Sunday, so this is the last chance. So this is a very tough bichlal. Then let's say it's not a high risk pregnancy. This woman wants to do it for various reasons. There are many different reasons why people want to do this. So that's a very tough question, and there are many different poskim have different opinions on this matter. They all talk about mazel, and they all talk about the issue of leida. The etzem leida is sakana. Chazal, a woman going into leida, she's putting herself in sakana. To put yourself in sakana prematurely is not necessarily correct in halacha. You're not letting go to a place where you'll be in sakana when you don't have to. If derech hateva, you're not going to go into labor for another week, for another couple of days. So why do you feel that you have to enter into sakana, chayesha, to put yourself in sakana earlier than you have to? And then there... Okay, so is that an excuse? Is that an excuse? If it's a high risk pregnancy and the doctor, then you must have this particular doctor is going away. Of course, that's a factor. There is no clear cut. Every single case is different. You can't generalize. And then there is the Kabbalistic issues. There's a halachic issues and Kabbalistic issues. When the person is born, he's born with a certain mazel, under a certain constellation, whatever this all means. And if Hashem had planned for him this mazel, by you causing him to come into this world earlier, you're denying him that, whatever that thing is, whatever this is. Is that something that has to be taken into consideration? Chilukei deos, yes, no. These are just some of the issues which, again, like I told you, there is no clear answer, and every situation is different. Okay, any other things that caught my attention? brachas, after a woman gives birth. After a woman gives birth, so if you have a boy, what bracha do you make on a boy? Hatoy v'hametiv. The mother can make the bracha as well. Many people have the minhag where only the father makes the bracha. It's incorrect. The mother can make the babachareva, because the babachareva, that the mother can make the bracha as well. I guess it would be ideal for the father to make the bracha, and the mother would answer, I mean, one bracha for both. One bracha when the father will be your motzi, the wife. When it comes to the bracha hatoy v'hametiv, the father does not need to see the baby. Even if the father is outside, the father does not see the baby, he can make the bracha. When it comes to a girl, the minhag is to make the bracha shachianu. You make a shachianu for a girl, and there the halacha is you have to see the baby. The father cannot make the shachianu until he actually sees the baby. When they come out to him, they tell him, you had a girl? So he says, so he can't make the bracha. He has to go in to see the baby. Okay, and then a woman makes the bracha. So a woman be going to Leida. Because a boy is good for others. So again, this is something which people get very upset about. But toivu meitiv is when it's good for you and it's good for others. So a boy supports, in Chazal's view, a boy, a male, he's good for the world. He's going to be a source of a girl. I'm going to stop here. You can fill in the blank. You can fill in the dotted line.
I told you
yeah. What did he say?
Zohar is a gematria bracha, and what do you call it? Rashi is gematria nezek.
Nezek. Ooh.
Expensive, right? Girl is very expensive.
Boy is just as expensive.
Boy's expensive. I tell you,
what?
When it's a boy, I never use it when it was a girl.
Say it again? The other occasion when I told her.
When is that said? When?
That's why you should
get associated with Death and the Yerusha? I don't know. Okay. Other issue is the woman has to make a birchas hagoymel. A woman who goes through a leida, she has gone through a pikuach nevesh, she must make birchas hagoymel. When does she make birchas hagoymel? There are different minhagim. And some minhagim is the first time she comes to shul, she doesn't make the bracha birchas hagoymel. Mamish, she just comes to shul and she answers baruchu. She go her husband gets an aliyah, and she answers baruch Hashem. That is called the Birchas HaGoyim. You'll ask, why doesn't she actually make the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Kei Melech HaGoyim L'Chayim Tovim. So this is a very important yisod. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down, is that Leida is Darkoy Shel Olam. Leida is not the same thing, a natural childbirth, even though it is a sakana. It's not like a person had an operation. Because having an operation is not natural. It was not meant for a person to get sick to the point where he's put out under anesthesia and has to be operated. It's not like a person traveled the desert.
What about cesarean?
Or did something. Oh, that's a surgical operation. That's an exceptional case. That's much more complex. There's a much greater chiv for a cesarean, for a woman to make a real bracha, for a woman to do something much more significant. But this is a yesod that the Mishnah Berurah brings out and has many applications in halacha. When a woman who has a natural childbirth, with no complications, even though it's absolutely certain, it's absolutely true that she has gone through a matzav of sakana, but being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being to do this, this is all built into a person's DNA, that you have children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come to make it difficult for human beings. Hashem is not coming to make it hard, and it's built into nature, to teva. It's not on the level of sakana that obligates a woman the full-fledged dosage of a birchas hagomel, like a man who went through the four cases when a person's chayav to make birchas hagomel when he goes through four different situations. This is the yisod in childbirth. But of course, obviously today everything becomes very complicated. Even a simple situation, the doctors will do things which make things much more complicated, and that obviously changes the equation of how far you have to go in birchas hagomel. In some shuls, woman, I've seen this many times, where from behind the mechitza, the rabbi will give a clap during Kriyas HaTorah, and will say everyone should be quiet. There's a woman on the other side of the mechitza that is reciting the Birchas HaGomel, and everyone answers Amen. There are different customs. It's not so uncommon in the more modern world. That's what they do more often than not. In the yeshiva world, you never heard of such thing like this. Okay. The other very big issue, the other last issue, which again I'm not just bringing up issues, is the status of a nida, a woman who is a yoledes, when her water breaks, and when she goes into labor, at that moment in time becomes a nida. Until a woman, during the entire time of pregnancy, it's very possible for a woman not to be a nida. Those are very complicated shahs I don't know much about. But one thing is certain, that the etzem leida, the maisa leida, automatically, ein psichas kever b'loy dam. Chazal said when a woman goes into labor, the kever, which is the womb, opens up, there must be blood. Even if you don't see the blood, there is blood. Mimela, that blam is dam nida. So the woman turns into a nida. L'may nafkamina, when a woman is a nida, the husband, there are very severe limitations on what the husband can do. And that's why when a woman, an Orthodox woman, gives birth, the way they operate in the delivery room is very different than when non-Jews come to the operating room. Non-Jews are there. There's touching, and they can see things that Orthodox Jews are not proper to see during this time for one very simple reason, not because of anything special, other than it's strict Shulchan Aruch. A woman is a nida. When a woman is a nida, there are just certain set of rules that have to be followed. Halachas is just a matter of halacha, nothing to do with being from or not being from. That's the halacha, and that's why there are always discussions exactly where the husband should be when his wife is giving birth. Does she need his moral support? Or all these different yoga and training things where you have lamaz, when you have the husband as a partner. So how much can you compromise the laws of nida in order to assist a woman who is begeder chol sheyesh by sakana? We learn, when we start the laws of chol sheyesh by sakana, the most important thing is moral support. A person allowed in mechal Shabbos to go on Shabbos in order to give moral support. So if a wife is very sensitive, very delicate, and she wants her husband to be there, and she wants her husband to hold her hand when she's in giving birth, so just like in mechal Shabbos, so is it the end of the world to suspend the law, the harchak of nida, of not holding someone's hand at a time of sakana? This is a very difficult question, which is dealt with all by all the gedolei ha'paiskim. I just want to bring up these issues in the articles I printed out in relating to the laws of Shabbat. Okay, so we'll stop here, and tomorrow, don't forget, for the halacha section, for over an hour, I have him for an hour and 15 minutes at least. Wow. He's going to come and tell us he's coming from 10 to 11:15.
What time is he coming?
10 o'clock. We will start at 9:30, and when he comes, we'll break. And he will speak from, hopefully, for about an hour, for about Hatzalah and Shabbos.